So tonight we're taking time to reflect on some of the final moments before Jesus gave up his life for us. There's some key scenes that the gospel writers shared with us, and I want to walk us through tonight. The first is the Last Supper. I'm going to read from Matthew 26, verses 20 through 30. What Matthew writes is, "When the evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And when they were eating, he said, 'I will tell you the truth. One of you will betray me.' They were very sad and began to say to him, one after the other, 'Surely not I, Lord.' Jesus replied, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born.' Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' And Jesus answered, 'Yes, it is you.' While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." At this point, Jesus instituted an ongoing command to remember him through the bread and the cup. We'll be doing that a little bit later this evening. It's an important part of living in Christ that we take time, as he asked us to do, to remember him. Because the cares of this world and certain parts of our hearts and minds that God is still renewing continue to turn our attention away from him. And so as we make it a regular practice to come back to him again and again, God is able to work more deeply in our lives. At this point, at the Last Supper, Jesus began to see, or we can begin to see how those closest to Jesus even began to pull away. There's a huge contrast when we see at the Last Supper from the crowds of people who came out to rejoice and celebrate Jesus as he rode into Jerusalem just a few days prior. From this point on, things begin to fall apart as the real spiritual battle over the hearts and souls of mankind intensifies. Judas, of course, gave in to temptation. Whether it was pure greed or driven by fear or some other desire, something rose up within him and led him to decide to betray the Lord. And he ran off to bring soldiers to arrest Jesus. But Judas wasn't the only one to turn away from Jesus that night. Jesus said all of his disciples would fall away that evening. They all scattered as Jesus was arrested. Even against his own protestations, devoted Peter denied ever knowing Jesus three times. And Jesus' disciples responded in fear that night rather than standing by him in faith. And I think we can all relate to doing the same. We all know Jesus. We know him personally. We have put our faith in him, and yet we know there are times when doubt and fear rise up within us, and we choose to respond to them rather than stand in faith. So let's pray together this evening and ask God to help us cling to him against any fears that rise up within us. Let's pray. Lord God, we can all relate to your disciples in this evening as they responded to the fears in their hearts. I pray that you would identify the fears that lead us away from you, Lord. We would be aware of them. And even more than that, Lord, I pray that you would build our faith to the point where we no longer respond to them. While we may feel the fear, we may be aware of the circumstances that cause us doubt, we will still stand in faith with you. Continue to strengthen us, Lord. We know the truth is that you are faithful, and we want to follow you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Next, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here's how Mark tells it to us in Mark 14. He writes, "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death,' he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it is possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. And when he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were very heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." So in this moment, fear rises up even in Jesus. But he shows the proper way to respond. "Yet not what I will, but what you will, Father." He did not give in to the fear, but holds on to faith in the Father, trusting in him despite all that he knows is to come next. At this time, Jesus' life turns into chaos as he is betrayed, arrested, abandoned, accused, and denied by his friend. His life is now fully in the hands of sinful men determined to unleash their will upon him. This, of course, is the Father's will. It's a necessary part of the plan of salvation for mankind, and we mourn because Jesus had to suffer so much for us. How often do we abandon the Lord and work against his will? How often do we give in to anger, frustration, determined to have things go our way rather than the Father's? Despite his own desires, his own fears, Jesus continued on. He gave himself over willingly to sinful men so that we can have a new hope and each day turn again to the Father to say, "Not what I will, but what you will." So now let's pray together for the Holy Spirit to give us perseverance to follow God's will wherever he may lead. Let's pray. Father, we know your will is good for us. But we also understand as we look at Jesus' life that your will is not always easy. I pray that you would give us perseverance. That no matter what you lay before us, Lord, we will walk in obedience to you. We will follow you where you lead, trusting that you are leading us into the future you desire, our good and faithful Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The next moment we want to reflect on was when Jesus was taken before government officials, the governor, Pilate, and King Herod, as the chief priests sought conviction for their case against Jesus. We're going to read from Luke 23, verses 13 through 25. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." With one voice, they cried out, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, and the one they asked for, and they surrendered Jesus to their will. Consider what prevailed in that moment. Pilate spoke as a man of reason and a man of justice. He upheld the law and saw no reason to convict Jesus. But those wanting his life were not interested in reason. They didn't care about truth or justice. They were urgent, and they demanded with loud cries that Jesus should be crucified. And the key statement in this passage is that their voices prevailed. The question for us to ask ourselves is, what guides our lives? Our intellect tells us that logic and reason and justice and truth should be our guides. But if mankind lived according to truth and justice, Jesus would not have been put to death that night. God knows that what is in our hearts often prevails over what our minds tell us to be true. We are led by desires, longings, the things that we truly love, and these things twist the truth to gain what they want. It was sinful desire that prevailed that day in Jesus' life, and it was sinful desire that condemned him to death, just as the Lord knew needed to be done. But how often does sinful desire prevail in our lives over truth? The desires in our heart rise up against that truth and reason again and again. And this is why it is vital for us to not only know God's law and his word, but to love God's law, so that our hearts will long for the truth and reason, just as our minds do. And true justice and obedience for God will prevail. So let's pray for God to teach our hearts to love his ways. Lord, we know our hearts betray us sometimes. But yet we want to follow your truth. We want to live according to reason. You are a God of justice. You are a God of truth. We want those things to be most important in our lives. We need our hearts to come into alignment with that. I pray that you would give us love for your ways. Not just blind obedience, not just giving in to what you want, but loving what you want, Lord. I pray that you continue to change our hearts, Father, as we seek you and live close to you. In Jesus' name. So now we have one final moment of Jesus' life to consider. The moment when he was placed on the cross. After being beaten and humiliated, this is what John tells us. Chapter 19. Verse 16. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. And this garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened as the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garment among them and cast lots for my clothing." And this is what the soldiers did. And after this, Jesus began to speak his final words. at that, Jesus died. We have to ask ourselves, why did Jesus endure such suffering? For what reason do we need to take this time to pause and reflect on his death? Jesus suffered because the price of sin is high. It's important for us to have some sense of that cost. I don't know if we'll ever fully understand it. We can understand our sin has a heavy price. We need to have some sense of that in order to wake ourselves up and rise up against those things that lead us away from the Lord and into sin, and not give in to things like fear and doubt and selfish desire, but instead stand in faith with the Lord and to reveal the depth of our hearts to him and invite him to transform us into the people who love God and love his ways and love one another with all of our hearts and with all of our minds. Jesus also suffered because he chose to. He chose to suffer on your behalf because he loves you enough to pay that high price for the sin that you have committed. He chose to suffer for you so that you can live in hope that there is life beyond your failings and your weaknesses. There is hope to overcome any sinful desire. There's hope for restoration in our relationships with God and with one another. And there is hope for this fallen world because Jesus chose to suffer. This is what makes this Good Friday, because Jesus chose to do this for us. So let's pray together in thanks for Jesus' willingness to die on our behalf and pay that sin, pay the price of that sin. Let's give him thanks that through him, or through faith in him, we have hope to rise to a new life. Let's pray. Lord, we gather here tonight to give you thanks. We understand that Jesus paid a heavy burden, took on a heavy burden for us, Lord. We thank you that he did. We thank you that you loved us even while we lived in sin, to pay that price, to suffer on our behalf, so that we can have the chance at new life. We thank you for all the ways that you have transformed us, Lord, the new life that you have given us, and the promise of eternal life with you. We thank you for sending us your Spirit to guide us and teach us and change us. Continue to work in us, Lord, to make us fully into the people you desire us to be. In Jesus' name. And now we want to start closing out our service by remembering as Jesus asked us to do. We're going to take communion together, remembering that Jesus gave his body and spilled his blood for us. And that gift is a gift that gives us new life. Remember, and after communion, I just invite you to, if you'd like, just take your seats again and just take some time remembering him. We'll have one more song at the end. And then after that song, you're free to go, or you're free to stay for a while. If you'd like to just sit and pray, if you'd like to have somebody pray with you, I'm sure we'll have people here who could pray with you. But take whatever time you need tonight. But now let's remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. As I read earlier, he met with those disciples, and he took bread, and he broke it. He gave that bread to them. He said, take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body given for you. Remember his body given for you tonight for the forgiveness of your sins. And he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of my blood. This blood is spilled for the forgiveness of many. It's a new promise that we have from God that Jesus' blood covers the stain of our sins, gives us forgiveness. And so we take that bread and dip it in the cup, take those elements together. And as we taste them and smell them and feel them, remembering the realness of what Jesus did for us, I invite you to take time to remember what Jesus did for you and come forward to the table and take these elements in remembrance of him. Let me go ahead and start some music and then just come forward as you're ready.